"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
To move our criminal justice system into the direction of the 21st century.
His special directives that he's enacted has given criminals kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card.
We need to use science and data in order to address public safety, but violent crime.
His data and science is completely flawed.
Nobody's safe in Los Angeles because of District Attorney Gascon.
You will see that not only have I enhanced public safety.
Don't get that name on my face. That's a chap right there.
I am absolutely outraged at the lies that Mr. Gascon is spewing.
He has no business implementing laws of his own personal choice, which we voted against.
We've done so in a way that is much more both physically and socially responsible.
Not only is he breaking the law, but he is not doing what he is supposed to do as a district attorney, and that is protect his victim.
He is in the wrong office. He should have been a public defender.
He's voted in. He can be voted out.
Salute. Celebrating us going home on this Gascon direct.
Crime is at a historic low in this nation, a historic lows in the state.
That's a bunch of baloney to me.
And now, for an update on the recall of L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon, here's John and Ken.
Well, the latest atrocity is the two officers in El Monte that were killed last night by a guy who was prosecuted 1 month into Gascon's reign for gun possession, and he already was on probation and because of a gun felony, and they didn't give him any jail time. And his two victims, the cops, Corporal Michael Paredes and Officer Joseph Santana, have just been identified. And he had pleaded no contest February 2021. That's 2 months after Gascon took over, being a felon in possession of a firearm. And prosecutors dismissed two other felony charges, possession of ammunition, possession of meth. In other words, this was part of the Gascon's blanket policy. And he walked free. And yesterday he kills two cops.
So the update from the recall desk, which was press released this morning, they have reached the signature total that they need to put this on the ballot. However, you've heard us talk about petition collecting before. 566,857 signatures are needed to get this recall on the ballot. They have surpassed that number, but they do need a cushion. They want to collect all they can by June 24th. The deadline to submit all the signatures to the county registrar is July 6th, We're going to talk about this important update and all things dealing with the recall of George Gascon with Tim Leinberger now, with the recall of District Attorney George Gascon campaign.
Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me.
So everyone must feel very excited that you hit the first milestone, which is the number of signatures you need, but you still need more.
Yeah, that's correct. I think, look, I was excited earlier today when I woke up and heard about that major threshold that we had reached. And then as you hear more about the killing of these two El Monte police officers, it makes it all kind of bittersweet and just speaks to the level of urgency that we have in actually making this happen. It's so important that we do, because we're seeing the devastating effects play out every day. So that's obviously terrible. And then separately, we do need to build a significant cushion over these last 2 to 3 weeks to ensure that we still meet that threshold, even given the signatures that will be disqualified inevitably.
And what's the goal? How many would you personally feel comfortable with, or would the campaign feel comfortable with, that you had before this official final submission?
I would say we're aiming for 650,000 to 700,000 realistically, but honestly, we'd like to collect as many signatures as possible. It would really suck to get to July 6th and turn in a giant batch of these and come up short 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000. So that's why we're just urging everybody to sign those petitions if you have them. We're actually asking people to mail them in by June 24th, if you do, to ensure they don't get caught up in the mail system. Or alternatively, if you don't have an opportunity to do that, to turn them into a permanent signing location by June 30th to ensure that we get them on time.
And you can go to the website and find out where those signing locations are?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a link on recalldageorgegascon.com, very easy to find, and there are signing locations all around the county, so it should be very easy for folks.
Do you think that the recall of the San Francisco DHS of Boudin is getting people a little bit motivated here?
Yeah, I think it brought a lot of additional attention to this effort and really told people that this was doable. And I think it essentially said that the writing on the wall is on the wall for what could happen to George Gascon if we qualify this effort. So for everybody to see that happen makes it a lot more real here. And we know that, you know, if we just reach this very high threshold of the 566,000 validated signatures, that if we do that, he will get recalled in a landslide. Gascon is extremely unpopular here. His favorability is completely underwater. And every day you're seeing more and more of the impact of his policy. So this is simply a matter of getting people to send in those petitions at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the problem can be that most people don't really focus on or think about a county DA the way they would a mayor or some other, even the sheriff. So it's tough to get people to focus on, but this is so important to the criminal justice system. Somebody like this, with this kind of power, who's nothing but a public defender. This apparently is the most signatures ever collected in Los Angeles County for any petition?
Yeah, that's my understanding. It actually may be the most signatures ever collected in United States history, notwithstanding the two California gubernatorial recalls. I haven't heard otherwise to that claim. So it is a significant threshold. And also, as I was mentioning to John last week, only about 14.5% or maybe a little more now of LA County voters turned out for the primary election. So we have to actually collect 10% of registered voters to qualify this. So it just speaks to how big of a task it is. But that's why we're so close right now. We're literally telling people, take off work if you can, do whatever you can to help us get these signatures, because he's gone.
What kind of internal validation have you done to hope that you can get most of these signatures approved by the county registrar?
Yeah, so we have an ongoing process for just verifying internally. We've actually had to bring on another firm to help us with that as we've gotten such a huge influx of mail. I can say that we've received almost 30,000 petitions via mail over the last few days alone. So we're doing that in real time as fast as we can. Some of those batches are verifying at over 90% rate, which is really, really good. Obviously, that's not every batch, so we're going to continue to do that through the end here so we can know exactly where we need to be. And we're just hoping and optimistic, you know, that many of those are good. But based on our projections, we think that the additional 650 to 700,000 total signatures would likely get us there.
You know, one of the things you did, which I think is great, I don't know if it's proving to be a part of the results, you mailed petitions to every registered voter's home. I got one.
Yeah, did you get a good return on that so far?
Yeah, so we mailed those towards the end of April. And really, it takes a little bit of time for them to get printed, to get out to people, and then to get returned back to us. We saw some postage stamps that actually showed they were mailed a few weeks before. And really, over the last probably 2 weeks, we've seen a real, real uptick in mail. And we're hoping that continues and remains steady from here through July 6th. But like I said, 30,000 over the last few days was very, very significant. And if that even remotely remains at a similar rate, we think we'll be in good shape. And that's in addition to the paid signature gathering that will be ongoing through July 6th, as well as the volunteer signature.
Is that 30,000 included in the 566,000 you announced today?
Correct.
Or yes, that's part of it.
Yeah.
If this is on the ballot, it's going to be in November. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more people voting. It's not a presidential year, but it is a governor's race and Congress and all that. So how do you think that bodes?
Yeah, actually, it will likely be a special election in probably December or January, just given the amount of time it will take for the registrar to go through their process. We would have had to have turned them in a bit earlier, or probably right around now, to make it for the November ballot. But in the end, we think his recall is inevitable, regardless of when that election would occur.
All right, Tim, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Yes, and I hope we talk with you again soon with the final total, and that it's even a much bigger number.
Of course. Thank you both so much for your help.
Hi, it's Tim Leinberger, recall District Attorney GeorgeGascon.com. Their big news release today that they have surpassed the required number of signatures to put the recall on the ballot. But, of course, they need a big cushion with a few weeks left to go in signature collecting. Recall DA GeorgeGascon.com.
And just to review this again, Justin Flores, who killed the two cops, he was convicted of a felon because of a 2011 conviction for burglary. And he got a two-year term in state prison. And then over the last 10 years, he'd been prosecuted 12 times. But he never got any more jail time out of that. Either the charges would be dismissed, or they would he would get probation. And then in March of 2020, he was arrested for being in possession of a firearm. Again, that's a felony, a felon in possession of a firearm. Prosecutors dismissed two other counts in addition to agreeing to the plea bargain. Felon in possession of ammunition, felon in possession of methamphetamine. So he only gets a conviction on possession of a firearm. That is a felony, though. He should have gone back to prison. Gascon did not send him to prison as part of the plea deal.
This what is do you on- know? 2011 is the year they started all this with the prisoner dumping bill, AB 109. This guy just timed himself perfectly over the last 10 years or so with a lot of his arrests, because that's when they just started softening everything up.
A dozen other prosecutions. A lot of them are resolved with no contest pleas, and a no contest plea is like a guilty plea. He got probationary sentences over and over, and this is disgusting. That's how you end up with two dead cops. You got a guy who commits. He's 35 years old. He has been committing felonies on the record that we know of since he was 24, and God knows what he did since he was a teenager. This has been his life, a violent felon, whacked out on drugs.
All right, more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
We'll have more on the shooting and the death of the two police officers in El Monte later on the show. The sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva, will join us at 5:05. As John mentioned before, they have released the names of the two officers who died. Joseph Santana, an officer, and a corporal by the name of Michael Paredes, at that motel yesterday afternoon, shot to death by a felon who was already been charged with possession of a firearm but got probation for it, Justin William Flores. In fact, his own family released his photo. We talked to the wife. He separated from the wife who was at the motel and said, oh, yeah, they killed him. Apparently this guy had a problem with meth and with guns and burglary.
Yeah, his mother had some winning quotes. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, Jesus. Let me see if I could find it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Her name is, kind of looks like coronavirus, but it's not. Lynn Covarrubias. And Covarrubias is her name. And she said, at first she didn't believe that her son was dead. Even the pictures they showed me of my son lying on the ground, I just thought, take him to the hospital. You can save him. She thinks it's rude for police to call her son a coward. It hurts to hear them say that. He was a person, too. He had a daughter. Lady, your son murdered two police officers.
I don't know how. Mothers are often blind to their children's
blind
evil.
Here's what Karubi has said of her son. I want to know that in spite of what happened, he was loving and caring. Loving and caring.
Yeah, he was having a bad day, John. Can you understand that?
He'd been prosecuted about 14 times in the last 10 years.
I don't think she hung out with them much.
But just read this morning's arrest record. Where do you think he was when he disappeared for 2 years in prison? Wow. Right. That nice sensitivity towards the cops and their families, too, huh? How'd you like to be the widow of the cops and reading what mom says? Nice and caring person. Sorry about the bullet that killed your husband. Geez, they ought to put her away, too.
Inflation news today. The Fed did raise the interest rates 0.75 percentage point. That's the biggest hike since 1994. Some may say they've just waited too long before they've done this. The problem with that, and you always wonder if they acted too late, but now maybe they've gone too far. It's already having an effect on the housing market. There are a couple of real estate brokerage companies that are already laying off people. Redfin and Compass, 920 employees are being laid off because with this rise in the interest rates, that's going to dampen people's,
mortgage applications dropped by half in a week. Well, dropped by half compared to a year ago.
Most
of it has been in the last few weeks.
I had already seen in the past few weeks the housing price, because they did raise the rates a little bit back, not by much, but I had already seen that there was a real drop in the housing demand and people looking for homes. So the average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage reached 5.2% last week.
It's up to 5.65%.
Yeah, the rate was up 3.2 percentage points from the beginning of the year.
And then the Tuesday rate was 6.28. Like, it's going up significantly every day now. It's like the price of gas.
Yeah, the rate hit 5% when it did for the first time since 2011.
Right. So,
which is when we were coming out of that last big housing smash.
That'll stop the housing market dead, which is, a good thing for a lot of people because the prices were spinning out of control.
When you do this and you don't want to set off a recession, suddenly no one's buying homes and that can domino into other problems with the economy. I've already read, too, that retail sales are starting to dwindle. That's a bit of a reaction to the inflation, not so much the interest rates, but also a lot of people use credit cards and pay, credit card borrowing rates. So that may diminish their appetite for buying. I also read that some people are digging into their savings because of the inflation problem.
It has to happen. It was way too much of a boom. So there's got to be a big correction now. You can't beat math. I get very irritated when people hype because they think that the laws of physics or the laws of math suddenly get repealed. You can't have stock markets that go crazy like this forever because you end up with stocks that are far more than the companies are worth because they simply don't make that much money. They don't have those kind of profits. So that stock price just cannot last unless you have a bunch of hypesters who keep driving it up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Fed's actions since 2017. They raised the rates a lot back in 2017, 2016, but not by much. And then beginning in 2019 and, of course, in 2020 with the pandemic, they were lowering the rates because everyone was afraid the economy was going to just crash thanks to the lockdowns.
The main overnight interest rate, they had it at zero.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So these are still low by historical standards. Although during the last huge inflation run back in the late 70s, early 80s, interest rates were in the 20s.
All right, when we come back, I didn't expect the story to come from this city. It's a California city that's got a mayor that's decided to, arrest people for homeless encampments. Find out who it is and where it is and how it's going coming up next.
John and Ken Show. Are we doing Alex, by the way?
Oh, that's right. We are. He's coming up next about the recall. No, about the...
The Tesla. The
automated driver. I forgot. Yes, that's right. Well, all right. We'll do the homeless story later.
Okay. All right. A lot of these automatic driving cars are getting involved in accidents. We'll talk to Alex Stone from ABC News in just a few minutes about that.
Well, we'll talk about Joe Biden's warning to the oil companies. He sent out letters. He's really worked up that he may use emergency actions to get more production and to curb those profits. We'll talk about it after 4 o'clock with a representative from the oil industry here on the John and Ken Show.
You may be aware that Tesla has autopilot and full self-driving mode. This is where you can just sit there and watch the world go by and the car drives itself. And other companies also have, what is it called? Driver assistance technologies. That's the term. Ford, GM, BMW, Volkswagen.
Yeah, there's cruise control and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in 10 months, there have been close to 400 crashes in the U.S. involving these automatic driving technology or the driver assist technology. And 70% of them were from Tesla.
Well, yeah, they have the most advanced system
right.
of all those companies.
So
I was even aware that there was much with Honda was mentioned in this story. I don't know what they have. It's nothing like
Honda
Tesla has, though.
Has been involved in 90 accidents.
Must have something that puts the car in some kind of automated mode.
They were number two. So to give us more detail on this, Alex Stone with ABC News. Alex.
Hello, gentlemen. So, yeah, this data today, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that they put out, first time we've ever seen anything like this. They've never put out data on crashes overall, but the issue being that the automakers and even the NTSB and others, they're saying this data is one big lump of raw data, and that Honda doesn't have what Tesla has, Tesla doesn't have what Toyota has, that it's not apples to apples, and that maybe Tesla's higher because they've got more vehicles out there, maybe they report more data because they have automatic reporting when you're in a crash that they get their hands on and they know a lot more. It could be any number of things. So they're all saying this data doesn't mean a lot yet because it's just raw data that's out there, and now they've got to figure it out and then what it relates to and pick it apart. But safety advocates and lawmakers are jumping on it saying, well, it does show that you can't flip the switch or hit that iPad in the middle of your Tesla and go to sleep or watch Netflix on it like we know people have been doing. By the way, Tesla even says it is not autonomous, that you got to be in control of the vehicle. That's why you got to have your hand on the steering wheel or you figure out how to put your knee on it so that you're not actually holding on to it.
Yeah, people have tricks to get around that, yes.
Yeah, I had a rental car a couple weeks ago. I think it was a Nissan, and it would keep the lane for you on the highway and turn for you on the highway and everything else, speed up, slow down. I quickly figured out, oh, I don't have to keep my hand on here every time it warns me. Just put that knee up there and you can kind of sit back and, you know. And so you push it to figure out how far it can go to make you the most comfortable, and that's when you get into trouble. And Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, he's responding to this today saying, we need legislation so Teslas and Hondas and all of the different companies cannot go out there and just use us as test dummies to figure out what works and doesn't work.
What's been released today is certainly a cause for deep alarm. In fact, it is a ringing alarm bell affirming many of the warnings that we've made over the years.
Yeah, he says even if it is not autonomous technology and they're telling you, you've got to keep driving, that the name autopilot makes you think you're a pilot. And you flip that switch and it's going to everything for
it
you.
It certainly tempts you. Even if a Tesla gives a warning on paper, as if people read those things.
Right, the name of it, you know what people are doing. But in that 10-month period, 6 people died, again, primarily in Teslas. More were seriously injured. And now they're going to begin doing this reporting every month to lay out what the numbers are looking like. And they do have to go through it and try to figure it out. But again, of those numbers, of the 400 that they tallied, 70% were in Tesla. So that's the focus of it. Tesla stands behind their autopilot saying it, you're not supposed to be asleep or anything else. And it works the way it's supposed to work. But again, the lawmakers are saying, yeah, but the car companies can kind of come up with whatever they want. put it out there, and if they think it's good to go, then. But then again, if you don't put it on the in the real world, you can test all you want on fake streets in Michigan or wherever else you're going to do it up in the Bay Area, and you're not going to hit all the scenarios that, that you may hit, and there are going to be oopses where somebody hits a bicyclist or a car on the side of the road, and you go, well, we got to reprogram that, and that's a lot of what goes on. One more for you. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, he also reacted today.
Tesla is running regulatory red lights and failing to take common sense safety measures to protect the public.
But Tesla and these lawmakers and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they have been butting heads for a really long time. So it's not a real surprise that they're going to be called out by this group. And Tesla fights back to say, no, that we have a good product and we stand behind it. Honda put out a statement where I put it a few moments ago. They're saying that they urge caution on this data. Because automakers, they say, as apples-to-apple comparisons simply are not possible at this time. So they say, don't worry about the data, that that there's a lot more to it than this. But bottom line, from the data, we know, and driver assist can be the automatic braking, the lane keeping. So they lumped it all together. But with all of this and with that engaged, there were 400 accidents and six people who died.
I would think, I've never driven in one of these things. I had a car with cruise control, you know, long, long time ago. Do you get, I would think you get less engaged if you're on autopilot, and you really could get drowsy and drift off because there's nothing to make you pay attention. There's nothing to keep your adrenaline going. You know, you're on a bit of alert when you're driving normally. And if you're just sitting there as if you're in a plane, well, you know, eventually you're just going to go
kind of nod off, do something else. Or, I mean, I would think you do. You would. I don't have a Tesla either, but you pay $12,000 for that autopilot technology. It better do something, right? And it seems like that if you were on a long drive and you were, and it was steering for you and braking and accelerating and changing lanes and hitting the blinker and everything else, how do you not nod off?
But it'd be hard for me to trust that. It's like I know plenty of, you know, people get into accidents all the time, and I don't know what the ratio is for.
And that's the other thing that we don't know about this data.
Human accidents, but at least, you know, I've got a sense that I'm in control here, and if I see somebody do something wacky, I can swerve.
You can swerve out of the way really fast, and that's another part of this data that these car companies, and you hear Elon Musk say it all the time. Yeah, but compared to the real world of people behind the wheel, this is pretty darn good. Still, though, you want to trust it, and we don't know what the data is when driver assist was not in play on these vehicles. Then it probably would have been more in line with everyday driving that most people are doing. But still, you flip it on, and you don't think you're going to fly off the road into a lake or slam into the back of a patrol car or hit a bicyclist. And in these cases, that's what went on.
All right, very good, Alex. Thank you.
You got it. Bye, guys.
All right, coming up next. Well, we predicted this years ago, dealing with cars, rideshare, Uber, Lyft. It looks like the days of low prices to get yourself an Uber or Lyft ride are over. And there's a pretty good explanation as to why this finally happened. Coming up next.
John and Ken Show, KFI. So the big announcement out of the White House today was the old pooper is so pissed off about the oil and gas prices that he wrote a letter to the oil companies.
To who? Letters. I think it was letters because he wrote them to several companies.
Yeah, and letters.
He's threatening them with executive emergency action.
Well, he said, I'm going to come down there and pop you.
Yeah, man.
So, and he wants to force them to produce more oil and gas. I don't know how you do that. Kara Green from Western States Petroleum Association will give us the oil industry side of this and maybe explain how he would have the power to do that.
Yeah, he claims they have historically high profit margins. And we'll see the response to that coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. I remember this probably goes back 5-6 years. We've been with the rideshare. That's what they call them, Uber and Lyft and such. For quite a while now, and I remember you used to say that, they don't run at profits. They lose money. Mm. And I kept saying, well, why would anybody run a company or invest in a company that constantly loses money? Well, it's explained nicely in an article in The Atlantic. These startups weren't nonprofits, charities, or state-run socialist enterprises. Eventually, they had to do a capitalism thing and turn a profit. But for years, it made a strange kind of sense for them not to be profitable. With interest rates near zero, and this is years ago, not what the rates we're seeing today, many investors were eager to put their money into long shot bets. If they could get in the ground floor of the next Amazon, it would be a one in a million bet that covered every other loss. So they encouraged startup founders to expand aggressively, even if that meant losing a ton of money on new consumers to grow their total user base. So that looks to be what was behind Uber and Lyft and all the losses that they announced year after year, because people were getting pretty, obviously lower than taxi fares in a lot of cases to take a ride, but apparently those days seem to be over.
Uber is a great example. I read a book about the founding of Uber and the whole inside background story, and then there's also a mini series out on one of the streaming channels, which dramatized it.
Right.
And what's fascinating is the whole purpose was to put all the taxi companies out of business. And the quickest way to do that was cheap rides, really cheap rides.
Yeah, undercut them. Right.
And then once you get most of the market, now you could start jacking up your price and you're going to make profits for the rest of infinity. You just have to be willing to swallow the losses now. And these mega millionaires who were worth billions of dollars just had no problem taking $50 million or $100 million and throwing it into businesses like this, because the $100 million meant nothing to them. And if they scored an Amazon win or an eBay win, then they would get billions and billions in returns on it. And so it was the coolest game in the world to play. And by undercutting prices, you put most of your competition out of business. And the only thing that dogged Uber in the early years was Lyft. Of course, they were playing the same game.
Right.
And, well, we've come to the day now where everybody's tired of losing billions and billions and billions.
I passed on Uber. I haven't taken barely any Ubers or Lyfts since the pandemic began. And I passed on them a few times because they wanted too much money. Mm-hmm. I ended up taking a cab home from LAX last weekend.
Oh, I passed on Uber twice.
Plus, I'm also getting the thing now with the app. There's no response.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that, but I just get nothing.
Well, I get, that's like everything else. You just can't get employees. And Uber's always had bad relations with its drivers. And I guess drivers don't have to put up with that anymore. There are too many jobs available.
I mean, combined with the fact that obviously gas prices are way up, so they have to charge more. But that would be the same for the taxi people. It looks like, at least in this analysis, that this cheap ride is over. And that they're going to have to just, they're pricing things more in line with the world and the reality of the world. Because the cab companies got diminished, but they haven't gone away.
No. No, and they all have apps now, too.
They
so,
do.
You could probably download a yellow cab-style app. Right. But this writer wrote that...
Derek Thompson.
Derek Thompson. Atlantic. If you woke up on a Casper mattress, worked out with a Peloton, Ubered to a WeWork, ordered on DoorDash for lunch, took a Lyft home, and ordered dinner through Postmates, your household had in one day interacted with 8 unprofitable companies that collectively lost about $15 billion in a year. But you could spend the whole day, and a lot of young urban professionals in the cities, this is how they lived. They lived on delivered food and cheap cab rides. Yes. And you know, other startup companies that relied on technology like Peloton. And it was a pretty good life. But you can't lose collectively $15 billion a year forever.
All right. No way. He does admit at the end that with interest rates going up and possible problems with employment, there might be more Uber drivers on the road and there might be some sort of drop in the prices. But he says the cheap prices of the 2010s are not coming back. The really discounted fares.
Well, the idea also was with the startups is that you built huge market share and then you took the company public. Now, once you take the company public, you don't have control anymore. Now the investors have control, and the investors are hard-ass Wall Street guys, right? So, but in return, you cash out with billions of dollars. You know, if you owned 10% of the company and now the stock is going public, well, you could sell your 10% of the company for billions and go home, and everything's worked out really well. But that means now the new investors that really own and run the company are going to jack up. I mean, I wanted to take a couple of Ubers actually here to work, because my wife and I were meeting afterwards somewhere, and they wanted $50 to go from the west side to Burbank. I was, well, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And that happened 2-3 times in a row. So
yeah, they turned down customers, but then again, somebody will pay the 50. So
yeah, somebody will.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Biden today sent letters threatening the oil companies to produce more gasoline and also angry about their high profit margins. We're going to talk to a representative from the Western States Petroleum Association about all this coming up next.
John and Ken Show, and Mark Groner has the news, KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.